Behind many of the world's top mushing champions is an army of cheap, semi-skilled labor. Dog handlers. Across Alaska, handlers play a pivotal role. They manage sprawling kennels and help train sled dogs for competition. Alaska Public Media's Zechariah Hughes has more.
Inside a cold, dim room, Tara Cicatello stirs a bucket of frothy brown liquid.
I am making dog food.
It's a mix of kibble and frozen meat that's been thawed into a soupy kind of gruel. Cicatello grabs a heavy bucket in each one of her hands, trundles out to the dog yard, and starts slopping food into bowls.
Hey, buddy. Here's some supper.
Cicatello is in charge of feeding 25 dogs twice a day. After they eat, she retraces her steps, scooping away piles of poop.
Literally, I just take the sled in one hand, the shovel in the other, and I just knock it out.
The whole routine takes about an hour. Most of the time, it's in the dark, under a headlamp, and there are no days off, even when it's 50 below. This is the less glamorous side of dog mushing. Cicatello is a handler for a relatively new musher, Kristen Bacon, who finished her first Iditarod last year. This season, Bacon's training out of champion musher Jeff King's Husky Homestead, north of Cantwell. Cicatello stays in a small apartment on the property and gets a modest monthly stipend. In exchange, she does everything from feedings to practice runs to mushing the dogs and mid-distance races, one of which the two women are getting ready for now. Bacon is sitting on the floor, plotting where they'll rest.
Remember that you need to think about Tal Vista to Deshka Landing is 75 miles, and whether you really want to run a 75-mile run or you're going to have a little nap.
These logistics are complex, sort of like planning a multi-day camping trip spread out over 200 miles, but also with a pack of animals attached by ropes. They're assembling drop bags with all the supplies they'll need, from food to overstuffed Ziplocs full of dog booties, color-coordinated to match each animal's paw size.
Libby red, Yama orange, Skeeter red.
This is where good help makes a huge difference. Bacon needs a lot from her handler, particularly because she's not a professional musher and still has to work a job to pay her bills. She's a physical therapist for kids and regularly travels to small communities far away from her kennel. And when she's gone, she needs Cicatello not just to dog sit, but to put miles on her team for serious races.
I either need to pay to have really good help here with my dogs and trust that whoever's here taking care of them and feeding them is doing an appropriate job so that I can go work.
For handlers, though, the economic logic is less conventional. The arrangement falls somewhere between an apprenticeship and indentured servitude. Handlers are subject to the same state labor laws and minimum wage standards as other employees, but a director with the Department of Labor says hardly any claims are reported to the state about labor abuse in the mushing industry. And for Cicatello, the grit itself is a selling point.
I love adventure and I love going out and doing things. And so to me, just like sitting in office all day was not fulfilling.
Cicatello graduated a few years ago with an English degree from a college in upstate New York, where she grew up. She got her start mushing when she lived in Nome, where, full disclosure, we were briefly roommates and stayed in touch. Handling dogs is a bit of a career gamble for her, if she ever decides to leave the mushing world.
I wish I could tell you I had, like, long-term life plan plans, but I'm really bad at making those. So far, I've been living my life season to season.
In some ways, mushing is highly specialized labor, but Cicatello doesn't feel like she's cutting herself off from other work opportunities. She's just 25 years old and has had enough odd and seasonal jobs that she's not really worried about finding other work if she needs to. And you don't get into mushing to make money. That's something I heard from other handlers too, including Sean Underwood, who moved up from Georgia to commercial fish and stuck around Alaska when he got the chance to handle for Jeff King.
I graduated with a degree in economics, minored in Spanish, and now I'm just running a 12-dog team, so I don't know where the supply and demand chart for economics comes into play there.
Underwood is excited but a little nervous as he gets ready to run the same race as Cicatello. Except for him, this is his first time ever competing on a sled. He never expected to be in this position. Back in Atlanta, he was a hotel valet and substitute Spanish teacher. He likes this better. Even though financially he's just breaking even, he still thinks of this as a deposit toward his future.
You know, if I'm not saving for retirement at 25 right now, I'm not super worried about it. For now, it's been 100% about investing in an experience and doing something that I'll be talking about and thinking about and drawing from for the rest of my life.
In this calculus, adventure is the profit. I follow up with Cicatello by phone about how the race went.
Hello.
She came in 17th, three spots behind Underwood. Although, in her defense,
he was running just 18.
Still, Cicatello now has enough race miles to be qualified for next year's Iditarod, if she chooses to stick around. In Denali, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
For more coverage of all things mushing, you can subscribe to the Iditapod, a podcast about the Iditarod from Alaska Public Media and our partners at KNOM Radio in Nome. The first episodes are available now on our website, iTunes, or Stitcher.